previously on Algoa FM Breakfast.
So here we are, big day today in South Africa, marking a moment that speaks directly to one of our country's biggest problems, gender-based violence, and in response, a movement for urgent action against this epidemic. It is, of course, the G20 Women's Shutdown that has gathered momentum across the country. And what's been so encouraging is to see just how many different parts of society have stepped forward. I'm talking organizations, I'm talking retail stores, community groups, even schools participating in their own way. And one such organization is the Center for Women and Gender Studies at Nelson Mandela University, which has been deeply involved in raising awareness and just driving this conversation. So joining us this morning to unpack what this moment means is External PR Officer for the Center for Women and Gender Studies, Ubabalwa Mdengenya. Babalwa, thank you so much for joining us on Algoa FM Breakfast.
Good morning, and thank you so much for having us.
I'm going to jump straight in, Babalwa, because we've got quite a lot to get through within very limited time. From a gender studies perspective, what is the significance of the G20 shutdown in today's social and political climate?
Thank you so much for the question. So as we all know, the G20 is a global meeting where countries gather, talk about economic empowerment. I think even the theme for South Africa has also equality and solidarity. But then to have the world stand still, because now all the world's eyes are in South Africa. But then speaking about gender-based violence at this time is also shifting the eyes to actually look at a bigger issue facing South Africa and a global issue, which is gender-based violence. So we are, it's like a call, and it was a great initiative led by Women for Change that, yes, speak about issues affecting countries globally, but don't forget gender-based violence. Every woman, most women are killed by men in South Africa. Children are affected, and mostly affecting women. So we are calling for the safety of women nationally and also globally. Don't forget about women, and also allow women to come and talk about these issues and have a plan on what you are doing as a global society and also nationally.
I think, I mean, essentially, it's really highlighting the fact that no economy, no country can thrive when its women and children are unsafe. I think that's essentially what we're saying. Definitely. To global leaders, you know, on the G20 stage. So in terms of the systemic challenges that women face both locally and globally, what does the shutdown really reveal?
It basically looks at, when you look at inequality, most women are not safe. Children are not safe. Women are being killed. But when you look at interventions, there are quite less interventions. So it's like a call that let's look at the justice system of South Africa. Let's look at the structures that are there to ensure the safety. Let's go back to SAPS. So what is SAPS doing? Because you find that most cases, women go and they're like, you know what, I don't want to pursue the case anymore. You find perpetrators walking free in streets after raping a child or after killing a woman. How can we strengthen the structures that are there to ensure the safety of women and ensure that they're actually being implemented? So let's not say, yesterday Ramaphosa said gender-based violence, yes, indeed, is a crisis. Yes, it's a crisis. You've been saying this. There was also a summit in, I think, 4 years ago where women all over South Africa came together and said, yes, this is a crisis, but what are you doing? You are pouring money to SAPS, to different government departments, but where is that going? How is it implemented?
Yeah, because essentially a declaration is only the doorway. And I think what really matters is how we walk through it, how government responds, how institutions shift, and how we as citizens stay engaged and consistent.
How do events like this amplify the voices of women and marginalized groups that are often excluded from decision making?
So with events like this, you can actually see that gender-based violence is not affecting a certain group of women. Students in universities are held in March. Workers, people in the locations, people in the rural areas, city people, working class. It shows that gender-based violence does not only affect people in a different race, people in a different class, but it actually affects everyone.
Yeah.
So events like this show that this is a dire situation and we need action, and we need action now. But obviously some will say that it's not only government who must act. Society needs to act. Academic also needs to act. So police, everyone must play their role.
Can you speak to the role of solidarity, women across different sectors and communities uniting, and also why it matters for driving this change?
So if, I'm sure in your context, if you have seen purple profile pictures.
We spoke about it as well, yeah.
Yes, everyone is one. Because imagine if we were all divided and saying different things. But to see women coming together, it shows that gender-based violence affects everyone. I'm sure we all know someone who was raped. We all know someone who was killed by their partner. But we don't know a rapist. It's so funny when we say we know a person was raped, know someone was killed, but can name a rapist. We don't know anyone who's a rapist. So it's revealing so many issues, that there are so many layers within gender-based violence, from home, from community, national and global-wide.
Mm. Well, I mean, you speak about global-wide. It's great that the shutdown is placing GBV firmly on the international agenda and demanding accountability. But, you know, looking ahead, what lessons can policymakers and society and, you know, current or future activists, in fact, learn from the shutdown in order to be able to promote sustainable gender equality, and the key word there being sustainable?
I think it's reviewing the policies that are implemented to be there to ensure. We always speak about women empowerment, women economic empowerment, but let's also focus on gender-based violence. It should be a conversation that is had in stakeholder meetings, in global platforms. It should be something that is had. And also, let us also, apart from looking at the policies, but let us also involve civil society and bring them to the table. Because that's another thing that was complained about, is that civil society feels left out. And this is such a huge platform, but the people who are directly involved about in gender-based violence are not in the discussion tables.
Yeah, they're not taking part in the discourse. Look, what's clear from this chat is that while we're seeing purple everywhere and so on, and it is a powerful symbol, but the real work, I think, is what follows now. And that work is, you know, it's got to take place in our homes. It's got to take place in our communities, in our workplaces, and most importantly, within the systems of our leadership and the systems of accountability in our country. So it's important that we keep the conversations going. It's
Definitely.
Important that we keep the pressure on. We've got to stay on their necks.
Definitely.
And
Definitely.
We've got to keep showing up even in the small ways. So, yeah, thank you very much, Babalwa, for chatting to us this morning and for just grounding this moment in context and in insight. And that, of course, is Babalwa Mdengenya from the Center for Women and Gender Studies at Nelson Mandela University. She's the external PR officer there. Thank you very much for chatting to us, and thank you for the work that you guys are doing at the center.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
Your digital library experience. Podcasts from algoafm.co.za.